You're watching Tip TV Finance and me, Jenny Hammond and Zach Mir. With us in the studio is Matthew Yates from Seven Investment Management. Matthew, it's good to have you with us today. So we're going to start off with China and what's happening in the Middle Kingdom.
So really interesting, I think, for all the focus for UK investors on Brexit, on Trump, on what's going on in Europe, I think it's interesting to think back about what was one of the real clear drivers of growth last year, and I think really the markets, rather than necessarily the Trump rally, was the impact of China. Okay, and the removal of that negative that was there so strongly in kind of Q3 2015, Q1 2016, was the commodity sell-off and the impact it was having on Chinese growth. And when you've got an economy that's growing as fast as that is, you know, generating an Argentina every year, or kind of...
Maybe an unfortunate analogy, but...
Generating a large economy every year that is fiscally prudent, unlike Argentina, is what's going on there. And what were the markets really reading into that? So you saw Chinese producer kind of price inflation really ramping up last year. And there was this idea of what's driving that. Is it that Beijing, with the infrastructure spend that it was instigating, was that really pushing the economy higher? Or was it actually all from the cost side? So was it demand pull or cost push inflation that was driving that higher? If it's demand pull, that would kind of suggest that actually this stimulus from Beijing, from the party, was being effective. But actually, I think it was more of the latter. So I think it was actually just the mothballing of Chinese coal and steel production. So last year, you had about 300 million tons of coal plant production being mothballed. You had about 65 million tons of steel production being mothballed. Now, that's effective until it seeps into consumer price inflation. Why? Because consumer price inflation, we know, has then a big link into interest rates. Okay, so you had this kind of golden era, people thought, in China, where actually producer prices were kind of ramping up. That was the stimulus being effective, but that wasn't affecting CPI. And what does that lead to? Well, that's interest rates. Okay, so you had this world where actually Chinese interest rates were going to stay low whilst the economy was really starting to ramp up. Now, I think that's almost coming to a turning point now. So last year, you had utility companies in China, their profits were down 35%. Why? Because that producer price inflation, the impact of kind of mothballing that coal production, was that coal prices were going up, and that wasn't being passed on to consumers. Okay, that means you have a vibrant consumer economy that was pushing Chinese growth. I don't think that can last forever. I think you had Chinese food inflation in the first few months of this year falling, whilst global food inflation is up 17%. Now, that's not just in the UK.
Isn't that one of the things that China can make everything, can make things last forever? They have the command economy there. They can tweak. I mean, they managed to get themselves out of that 2015, you know, the pullback, etc. Now it's going great guns again. Doesn't matter about the debt to GDP ratio. Doesn't matter about any of the normal metrics. I think it's 250% or something like that. Something horrific. It doesn't matter about any of these issues with China. So how do we measure that situation?
No, I think you also have to remember with China is production's going up because the whole sort of makeup of China is changing. You know, cheap work isn't available as it once was in China. It's all moving over to the sort of sister countries. You know, Vietnam is taking on the sort of really cheap products, and people are wanting better wages in China now. You know, they're waking up and realizing they're not going to accept the really sort of low wages, and that's pushing everything up as well.
This is great because this is the devil's advocate to the argument, and these are exactly the things that people didn't become concerned with in Q3 2015. What did they become concerned with? It was Chinese kind of devaluation of their currency and kind of China stepping in kind of an interest rate regime way to support the economy or otherwise. I think it all becomes about perception in China. And I think if we see Chinese interest rates start to go up, that's when the global investor perception of a market that's going to continue to be supported by the Chinese PBOC in the absence of kind of any of the pressures that face normal kind of market economies, like inflation and the feed-through that that has into interest rates, then I think you're in a bit of difficulty. I absolutely agree that I think the base case for China as a place to invest, you know, is much, much better than most of the developed markets out there. You know, if we think about political risk as the main thing that you usually associate with emerging markets, well, that's exactly what we're associating with developed markets at the moment. Look at Trump, look at Brexit, look at kind of the Eurozone, and look at Le Pen. But what I think has been very absent for a long time, as the Chinese markets continue to rally, as growth has continued to kind of be supportive of that story, is that that's kind of gone from the focus of investors. Kind of what I'm concerned about is if that focus goes back on some of those kind of data points I've talked about before, about kind of CPI inflation and the support of interest rates is removed, what that means for investor sentiment in a world that actually relies on China and relies on Chinese growth to continue to, you know, support the global economy. It's such a large part. It's, you know, 10 to 15% of global oil consumption comes from China, 40% of kind of global kind of raw material, you know, hard commodity consumption comes from China. So they really are the engine of growth. And if we start to see, you know, slightly kind of more rocky policies there, then I think that is when investors, as they showed the propensity to in Q3 2015, might start running for the door.
And let's just finally take a look at the yuan. And obviously, there was lots of calls about manipulation of the currency, but it was added to the IMF's basket of currency, was it, a year or so ago? So how do you see it playing out?
Yeah, so I think that also then links in with kind of what the Chinese are doing with interest rates. So they're kind of in the middle of this two kind of, two monetary regimes at the moment. That, you know, they're half tied to a basket, but we also know that in the back of their minds, they're going to continue to, you know, are they devaluing versus the dollar, or are they devaluing versus a basket of currencies? And that's kind of the eternal question. And I think the market's perception, what they're going to have to weigh up is, how much are they just going to tie to that basket of currencies versus what is the market going to feel if they start to devalue against that basket, as they perhaps should, and then Trump labels them a currency manipulator. So linking back to the developed market, you know, populism story, you know, they could tie perfectly to that basket of currencies, instigate that program perfectly, but investors could take that negatively if they perceive that as China's devaluing its currency, Trump's going to jump on that. So I think with China, there's around the edges, as they try to slowly turn towards a market economy, there's lots of political narratives that investors can tie to that could be very bad for people that are investing in the stock market in China.
Well, on that note, we'll leave it there. Matthew, thank you. Matthew Yates there from Seven Investment Management.